Welcome to Faith and Victory Church, an active, non-denominational Christian church in Auburn, Washington. A warm, casual environment where everyone is welcomed, with a great kids ministry, live worship music, and pastors Matt and Crystal Krichunas. Faith and Victory Church is all about the Bible and worshiping Jesus. You're invited to visit one of our services in person, Sundays at 9 and 11. But for now, thanks for joining us here for this Spirit-filled message.
Spiritually healed, emotionally healed, we serve a God that is a healer. God did not intend for you to have to live a life that he didn't come in and fix things. And so today we're going to be in a story from Mark chapter 8, talking about a guy who got healed. And so we're going to read it, we're going to walk through it, and then we're going to grab some things from it. Before I get started, I want to share with you that I had a professor in college that said to me one time, he said, every sermon left to itself is heresy. And why did he say that? It's because it's impossible to cover every aspect of something while you are hearing it, right? And so inevitably, some of you are going to hear this message, and then you're going to come back and you're going to say, man, you forgot some stuff, or you didn't pay attention to this scripture. And I'm going to say, you know what? You can't cover it all in one Sunday. Amen? So what we do is we take one portion of scripture, we look at it, and we get everything that we can from that portion of scripture and take it for what it is. So we're going to be in Mark chapter 8 this morning. We're going to be in verses 22 through 26. You can join me. It says, then he came to Bethsaida, and they brought a blind man to him and begged him to touch him. So he took the blind man by the hand and led him out of the town. And when he had spit on his eyes and put his hands on him, he asked him if he saw anything. And he looked up and said, I see men like trees walking. Then he put his hands on his eyes again and made him look up. And he was restored and saw everyone clearly. Then he sent him away to his house, saying, neither go into the town nor tell anyone in the town. The title of today's message is very simple. You can be healed. The first point I want to say is this, is that in the beginning of this story, there are some people that came and they brought this blind man to Jesus because they knew that Jesus was the one that could heal this blind man. And so my first point I want to share with you this morning is that if you need to be healed, you have to trust the people that know. You have to trust the people that know. It says in verse 22, then they came to Bethsaida, and some people brought a blind man and begged Jesus to touch him. And at this point in the story, the blind man hasn't really spoken. He's just going along with these people that are pulling him towards Jesus. And there's really two components to this part of the story. The first component is that these people must have cared enough about this guy to bring him to Jesus. What they knew about Jesus and what they believed about Jesus must have been powerful enough in their lives that they saw a benefit to taking someone who needed something to the one that could give him what he needed. They cared enough. It doesn't say that the blind man found Jesus. It said the man was blind and his friends brought him to Jesus. This is New Testament living. Amen. The Bible says in Philippians 2:4 that we are not to look to our own interests, but to look at the interests of others. If you're here this morning, you are not a Christian, and you feel like Christians are always pulling you somewhere or trying to do something in your life, it's because they're walking out the scriptures. Yeah. They're doing what they're supposed to do. Our job as Christians is to bring blind people to the one that can make you be able to see. Yes. And it also means if you are a Christian, you're not doing that, you're not doing what you're supposed to do. Because here's the other part of it, is that this guy must have trusted these people enough to know that they knew more than he did about his healing. A blind man can't see. He has no idea what he's doing. And so somebody in his life that must have had some sort of relationship or something come to him and say, hey man, we've got a guy that we're going to bring you to that's going to heal you. And he trusted them enough that he followed them where they were trying to lead him to. Sure, you have canes and such today to help you, but the spiritual aspect of this can't be overstated. The blind man had to trust other people to bring him to where he needed to go because he couldn't see how to get to his healing. Yeah. There's a sermon in there somewhere. Yep. If you're blind, are you willing to allow other people to lead you to the one that can heal? Because that was the heart condition of this guy. He knew he was blind, and so he trusted the people that knew better to bring him to the one that he could get healed at. in your own spiritual life, you have got to begin to trust those people that know how to get you healed and are trying to bring you to the one that can heal you. Quit being so spiritually resistant. Quit fighting the process. I always love to read in the Bible what it doesn't say. It doesn't say the blind man was like, man, get off me. I've been blind for years. I don't need you showing me how to get to nothing. Who do you think you are, guy that can see? No, he allowed them to bring him along. Matthew 15, 14 says, and if the blind leads the blind, both will fall into a ditch. Too many people are spiritually blind and they are spiritually resistant to the ones who are trying to help them get some sight. How is that? Yeah, well, usually because they're not just spiritually blind, they're usually spiritually deaf too. And they become so resistant to those people that actually have spiritual sight that are trying to bring them to a different place. I'll never understand this phenomenon. Why is it that people will not allow people that know more than them, that are farther along than them, bring them to a place of wholeness and healing that somebody's trying to bring you to? They will dig in their heels at every turn. They are so bent on finding their way to that ditch that they won't even allow somebody that's seen to pull them in the correct direction. The blind leading the blind will always lead someone into a ditch, so you want to make sure that the person that's pulling you knows where they're going. Do not take spiritual advice from the spiritual blind. Don't do it. Why would you listen to somebody who's a reprobate that doesn't follow God trying to give you spiritual advice on how you should live your life? But people do it all the time. You will come in here on a Sunday, a word will be preached that is transformative, if I do say so myself. You'll go to work on Monday and talk to somebody at work about it and then allow somebody who doesn't believe in God, doesn't read the Bible, doesn't go to church, doesn't follow Christ to completely switch your mind about something that's of God. Happens all the time. Don't let the blind lead the blind. If you're around people that can see and you want to be able to see and they're trying to help you to see, why would you be resistant to it? Let those who see lead you to where you can see. It is the spiritual equivalent of going to an eye doctor who wants to give you glasses and you refuse to wear them because you don't believe what he says is true. Well, doc, I know you're the doctor and all, and you want me to wear these here eyeglasses, but I don't really believe in that. I choose to not wear the glasses and be blind. I choose to bump into walls and not be able to read and not be able to watch television because my spirit is so defiant that even though you are an expert in your field and you're giving me something that's going to help me, my rebellious nature is such is that I won't even wear your glasses, Mr. Doctor. There's people that are actually like that. Because here's the second part of it. You have to let Jesus take you by the hand. It says in verse 23, and he took the blind man by the hand and led him outside the village. Jesus is leading this man at this point, and he is doing something in his life. And watch this, it is dependent on that guy going to where Jesus is leading him. If Jesus came along and was like, hey, blind dude, give me your hand. And he's like, I'm definitely not going where you're going. Where's he going to lead me? What if the guy said that? He said, you know what, Jesus, I've been blind my whole life. I don't need you. I don't need you telling me where I need to go. I've gotten this far without you. You know, the Bible says in Psalm 32:8, I will instruct you and teach you in the way in which you should go. I will guide you with my eye. Can you just agree with me for a minute that Jesus as Savior always leads people to a good place? He always leads us into good places. The Bible promises it and declares it that when Jesus is leading you somewhere, he will always lead you to a good place. Here's what's interesting about Bethsaida. Did you know that in Matthew chapter 11, Jesus cursed this town? He cursed it. He said, woe to you, Bethsaida. Why? Because they were unrepentant and they were unforgiving. That's the type of city that Jesus was leading this guy out of. He said, you know what? That city is so nasty, I don't even want to do a healing on you in that city. I'm going to pull you away from those guys. because those guys are faithless. Those guys are unrepentant. I don't even want to do a mighty work in front of these people so that they can continue in the way that they were living. I think that Jesus probably couldn't even do it in that city. When this guy finally gets healed, I think that he didn't want this guy to get healed, and the first thing that he sees is a bunch of faithless, unrepentant people. So he says, you know what, I'm going to heal you outside the city because I don't even want you in that place when you get your deliverance. Amen? See, what Jesus knew is that the environment that you are in affects your healing in such a way that oftentimes he has to remove you from a place before you can get healed. If you are living in an unrepentant, unforgiving, faithless environment and you're expecting Jesus to heal you, it will be very, very difficult for you. You can't hang out in the devil's swimming pool and expect to be clean. People want to live a life where, man, I'm going to be covered with filth and I'm going to be around people that are filthy, but I expect Jesus to heal me and keep me clean even though I'm swimming in the filth all day, every day. Trust where Jesus is leading you. Quit being resistant to it. Embrace it. He's not leading you to death. Every single thing, every promise of Scripture is good for you. Like three people are like, amen. It's all good, man. Everywhere he's leading you is good. Every time you apply a scripture to your life that has to do with the things of God, your life will always get better every single time. But people are always resistant to it. The promise of a new life is when you start living for Jesus and the Holy Spirit lives inside of you, that he will lead you to where you're supposed to go. You must trust him and you must follow him. The Bible says in Isaiah 30:20, your ears shall hear a word behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. Whenever you turn to the right hand or when you turn to the left. See, I don't know how submitted you are in your life, but and I don't mean this in a sense of spiritual pride. I've told you guys many, many times on my best day I'm a pile of steaming dung. But I trust in my ability to hear from God. I have a relationship with him. He speaks to me. He tells me what I'm supposed to do and how I'm supposed to do it and where I should be and what I should be doing. And I trust that. I trust when God says, nah, Matt, that's not for you. Even though I may not understand it and it's not really my desire, I'm just like, all right, God, well, I'll believe you on this one. I know that's not of you. And I know that for some of you that don't know God that way, you say, how is that possible? Because I've been walking with him for 27 years. Amen. I know what God's voice sounds like. Hey, brother, would you do me a favor? Would you go downstairs and shut that door because I'm about to lose it from the sound of the children? Is it? No, there's another one down the way. Just keep going. Watch what's going to happen to him. He's going to get eaten by something. Just keep going down. You'll find it. Some of you may struggle with hearing from God or following God's lead. And I'm going to give you a free class on that today, okay? This is the easiest way. Read the Bible and do what it says. I wish I was holding the mic. I'd drop it. You read the Bible and then you do what it says. And I know that this, for a lot of people, is really hard, so I'm going to say it another time just so you hear what I said. You read the Bible and you do what it says. This is the way that Jesus speaks to us. Jesus is the Word. The Bible says in the beginning was the Word, and Word was with God. The Word was God as it was in the beginning. So Genesis to Revelation is Jesus talking to us. So people say, man, I can't hear from God. Well, do you know how to read? Because even if you don't know how to read, there's audio Bibles that you can listen to where you can actually hear God speaking directly to you, telling you what you should do, how you should do it, and what direction that you should go. Secondly, follow the lead of other people who are in Christ that are living correctly. This is a no-brainer here. I don't know about you, but I like to win. And so when I like to win, I look at other winners and do what they do. Most of the stuff we do around here at church is not my own ideas. It's other pastors that I've stolen relentlessly from. I hang out with them and I'm like, dude, what are you doing, man? I do this. Great. Is it working? Yep. Perfect. I'm going to take it next week and say I invented it. And they're like, great. Fantastic. I just want to win. That's it. That you are surrounded by godly people that have good, godly lives that you can mirror your life after. Yeah. right? I mean, I love to use people as example. You look at Jay and Shelley, man. You guys are faithful people. Yeah. They're good people, man. Really good. And your whole life could be completely well by just saying, what would Jay and Shelley do in this situation? No pressure. Yeah, what would Jay and Shelley do? It's on a bracelet. Dude, and you guys aren't perfect, but you're a whole lot better than unperfect. You guys live good, godly lives. You guys are submitted to his will. You guys have a great marriage and good kids and great lives and all those things that are things that people can look at and be like, man, that's good. Call them up every day, not me, and ask them. Call them on Mondays. I don't know why people are like that. You know, it's funny, Christian, this young man, Christian, you know, you guys met Christian, right? He got saved here. He's a pastor in Iowa. Early on in his ministry, he used to be so resistant to me speaking into his life because he wanted to do things his own way. And I mean, I don't have any control over him. It's his own life. And so now he goes, you know what, Matt? I just realized it's a whole lot easier if I just do things the way that you tell me to do them. And he calls me up and he's like, hey, man, I'm going to this meeting. This is what's going on. Tell me what I need to say, man, real quick. I got like 10 minutes. I'm like, dude, go in. He's going to say that. You say this. When he says that, you say this. And then this, that, this, and the other thing. And then he's going to do this. It's going to change. It's all going to be fine. It's like, all right, man, got it. Calls me an hour later. Dude, I did exactly what you said. It was perfect. Thank you. I'm like, yeah, dude. Why would you not want somebody in your life that can give you that kind of information? Why not? Do not take financial advice from a broke person. Don't take fitness advice from a sick person. Don't take spiritual advice from a reprobate who doesn't know the word of God. Amen. If there's good people around you that know what they're doing, take their advice. Paul said many times, he said, follow me as I follow Christ. Imitate me. Look at my life. Have you ever been in a situation where you're trying to show someone how to do something and you're the subject matter expert and they're reluctant to how you are showing them? Have you guys ever had this situation before? You're the subject matter expert, right? I'm picking on the front row. Well, let's pick on Dan, right? I mean, I don't know if you guys know this, but Dan's in the circus, and he's a tightrope walker. Dan's a lieutenant in the fire service, and I'm sure that when he's at the academy teaching new recruits, and on that first week when he's trying to tell them how to do something, he loves it when these new recruits that don't know anything are telling them how they should be doing it. I'm sure that goes really far. I'm sure that Dan is just like, you know what? Yeah, it goes really well for them, right? No. Every single one of you are an expert at your job, whatever it is. And then people come in and they want to act like they know what they're talking about when the reality is just like, you know what, man, can you just trust that I've been doing this for longer than this weekend and I could actually show you something about how it should be done? It's the same for everybody in their job, right? In your heart, you're just like, do what I'm telling you to do and you will be successful. Can I share a story about that for a second? Here's, I mean this as humbly as possible. I'm good at my job, okay? And I don't mean that in a prideful sense. God has blessed me. God has equipped me. God has grown me. I've been preaching since I was 16 years old. I've been doing ministry since about that time as well. I'm 42 now. I know a little bit more than nothing. I have a couple college degrees. I did counseling when I was in the Army, and I've been dealing with this for 14 years. And it's really funny, and I'm just going to give you guys a freebie on this one, okay? If you ever hear me say these words when you and I are in a situation where I'm speaking into your life, there's a big red flashing light that should be a concern to you if you hear these words come across my mouth. I get put in situations where I end up like in individual counseling or marriage counseling or group counseling or anything else people want my spiritual advice to come in. Usually it's late at night and their hair is pulling out, like, drive down to my house and it's 11 o'clock and this can't be solved tomorrow. It needs to be happening right now. I'll be in those situations and I do what I'm supposed to do, man. I listen and I validate and I'm there and I do all these other things. And then there's this pivotal moment in the conversation. I usually say something to the effect of, are you looking for me to give you some feedback or you just want me to listen right now? And then you say, no, Pastor, we want some feedback. All right. This is exactly what you need to do. This is what's going to change your situation, A, B, C, D, and E. And then immediately following after that, what everybody usually does is, oh, okay, let me tell you why A, B, C, D, and E isn't going to work. every single time. Now, here's the magical words that you will hear me say in this situation. So if you and I are ever in this situation, I want you to realize that you're spiritually resistant, okay? Because these are the words that will come across my mouth. If what you're doing is working so well, why am I here? I could have been asleep, man. Down in your living room at 11 o'clock on a Tuesday night. If you guys had it all put together, then why are you asking the guy that does this for a living how you can fix your situation? Doesn't make any sense. Because here's the other part of it. You have to let Jesus work how he works. Verse 23 says, then he took the blind man by the hand and he led him outside the village. And when he had spit on the man's eyes and he put his hands on him, takes him by the hand, leads him, and then spits on him. I love this. This is when people say, I want a biblical church, I always go, all right. You don't think it was a loogie? I think it was a loogie. Well, how else is it going to stick on the eye unless it's kind of chunky? You know what I mean? Saliva would fall off, but if it's really thick, it would stay. It's like the salve, you know what I mean? Now, there's more to this story, though, is that, like, spiritual, like, blindness was seen as a sin during this time, right? It wasn't just that the guy was physically blind. When you were blind in Bible times, it was seen as a sin. And so what Jesus is actually doing with the spit is that he's saying to the people around, like, my bodily fluids have the ability to heal people, not just from their physical calamities, but from their spiritual calamities as well. What he's doing is he's telling them ahead of time, there's going to be other fluid that's going to come from my body that's going to save people wholly and completely. It was him explaining to them even further along, his blood is going to cleanse their sin. The Bible says in Psalm 18:30, as for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is proven. He is a shield to all who trust in him. This guy wasn't fighting the process because he must have known that God was going to make it happen. What does that mean to you? Quit fighting the process that God is using to bring you to where you need to be. Hear that. Quit fighting the process that God is using to bring you to where you need to be. So many people suffer spiritual blindness and calamity in their life because they're always fighting God on the process. They don't want to do what he's asking them to do in the way that he's asking them to do it. Go and look throughout your Bible, man. There's a bunch of wonky stuff that God has asked people to do that didn't make any sense. Go dip yourself in the river 7 times. Go put some water on it and then light it on fire. Go put a fleece outside. I mean, there's all these times where God asks people to do stuff that doesn't make sense, and God gives us stuff that does make sense, and we're like, I don't think that's going to work. God says, will you just read your Bible and go to church? I don't know. I don't see how that's going to change my life. I don't understand it at all. Trust the process of what God is asking you to do. The Bible says in Psalms 145, 17, the Lord is righteous in all of his ways, that he is gracious in all of his works. Think about this, and this is challenging. Think about how much coercion it takes to get a child of God to follow the scriptures. You're saved. You know Jesus, you believe in his word, but you still have to be convinced, man. You come down here on a Sunday and I or someone else will preach a sermon and you're just resistant to it. You're like, I don't know why he keeps using those Bible scriptures against us. I mean, honestly, how many scriptures should it take you to be convinced? I mean, I can spend 4 weeks and have 400 scriptures that talk about tithing and giving, and people will still be like, I don't think it's of God, man. I really don't. You could talk that much about forgiveness, and people still be like, I ain't going to forgive that person. You can talk that much about serving or fellowship or loving or all these other biblical doctrines that we shouldn't even have to talk about, and people that claim to be Christians still must be convinced and coerced with the word of God. Amen, Pastor, that's good preaching. It's pretty sad if you really think about it. We should know better. Like as the scripture, before when I say I'm going to read you this scripture and then it pops up on the screen, as soon as it gets there, you'd be like, I'm lining my life up with that scripture. I'm done being resistant to what God is trying to do in my life. Either you're a follower of Jesus or you're not. Either you're doing his will or you're not. And if you want to live in his perfect will, then you want to submit yourself to every direction that Jesus is trying to take you. Amen? Now, people who don't know, but we should know better and trust God in the process. I don't know about you, but in my life, God has allowed me to walk through some darkness so that I can appreciate the light. Many times I've been in situations that I cannot understand. God, why will you not deliver me from this moment? Why are you allowing me to walk through this pain? Why are you allowing me to experience this calamity? And then years later, I look back on it and I say, you know what? God knew exactly what he was doing. God knew exactly what he was working out in my life. And so now what I try to do as best as possible is instead of fighting God on what he's doing, is to embrace it. To say, you know what, God, you're teaching me something right now. I'm not exactly sure what it is, but you've proven yourself faithful throughout my life. And so in this season, I'm just going to embrace what you're doing in me. Jesus, I'm going to allow you to lead me. Because here's the other part of it, and this is where the story really starts to get good. Jesus asked the guy, do you see anything? And then he looked up and he said, I see people, but they look like trees walking around. Now, in this moment, Jesus has just spit on this guy's eyes to heal him, and Jesus asks him if he sees anything. Now, in this story, you can see that at this moment, Jesus knows what's going on, okay? He's the all-omniscient, all-knowing God. He knows whether or not this guy can see or not. But what's happening in this part of the story is that Jesus is testing this guy to see, is he going to be honest when I ask him a question? The interesting part of the scripture, and we'll talk about this in just a moment, but this is one of the only times in the Bible where we see Jesus doing a two-part healing. Most of the time when Jesus does a healing, it happens immediately. Like he says it and it happens immediately. Go through and read the whole book of Mark and you'll see that the word immediately happens many, many times in the book of Mark because Mark is an immediately book. But in this scripture, we don't see an immediate healing. What we see is Jesus somewhat heals him. And the guy says, man, I can just see, I see people, but they look like trees. It's not 100% clear. And Jesus knows this, but the guy is honest about it. If you're needing a healing in your life, I want to encourage you to be honest with God about what you need. When he asks you those questions in your heart, don't pretend that things aren't the way that they are. You think he doesn't know? You think he doesn't know that you're empty and you're loathsome and you're depressed and you're angry and you're frustrated and you've got all these things in your life that you can't control? He knows exactly where you're at. He knows exactly what you're going through. But I'm pretty sure based on the scriptures, he'd appreciate a measure of honesty about it. Amen. To just be man or woman enough to say, do you know what, Jesus? I see people, but they just look like trees, man. My vision is cloudy. I don't see clearly at all. I got to be honest, Jesus. I'm not where I need to be. What you've been doing in my life is currently not enough. I need a little bit more. I don't see with perfect clarity. How awesome is it that this guy is honest about where he's at and what he needs? The Bible says in Proverbs 12:22 that lying lips are an abomination to the Lord, but those who deal truthfully are his delight. Because here's the reality. If he hadn't been honest with Jesus, he may not have received his healing. Maybe Jesus goes to him and is like, hey man, do you see anything? He's like, perfect. Good. Jesus is like, you liar. I know you can't see well, but if that's what you're going to say, go on. Go on and see blurry the rest of your life. I was giving you a test on honesty and you failed. Because I knew you couldn't see clearly, but you refused to be honest about where you're at. And so go. Go and live your life half seen for the rest of your life. When if your honesty would have brought you to whole and complete healing. Because here's the reality of the context of this story. In Mark chapter 8, there's a part just a few verses ago, in verse 18, he told the disciples, having eyes, do you not see, and having ears, do you not hear, and do you not remember? The context of this healing is one of where Jesus is showing how people do not have full clarity without him, and they need to be honest about it. Yeah. That unless you're seeing 100%, you're not seeing at all. Yeah. These disciples, they're not where they need to be, and they're not where they should be, and he uses this guy as an example. Now, in just a moment, we're going to see he's going to get fully healed, but this hiccup, this moment where he's not fully healed is an example to the disciples, and it's an example to us to understand our inability to be healed by ourselves, but also to be completely dependent on Jesus in the midst of our healing being worked out. Amen? What does it mean to you? Be honest about where you're at. Some of y'all are not honest about where you're at all. And here's the thing, man, is that you're not helping yourself out. You're not helping God out. You might even not be getting your healing because you're unwilling to be honest with God and say, you know what, God, this is exactly where I'm at and this is exactly what I need. I'm done fighting you. I'm done pretending. I'm pretend playing. I want to be exactly where you need me to be. And so this is exactly where I'm at. Because you know what? That is true repentance. True repentance is being honest about your physical and spiritual condition. When Jesus asks you and he says, is there anything in your life that needs help right now? Not going, no, I'm good. I'm totally fine. It's like, do you know what, Jesus? I'm holding on by a string here. I'm about half a weekend away from destruction. If I don't have you, I don't know if I'm going to make it. Be honest with Jesus, man. He already knows what's going on. He already knows what's going on in your life. This guy wasn't fully healed. He was seeing fuzzy, and he needed more of Jesus. If you need more of Jesus, be honest with him about it. Amen? You know, it's funny. My kids don't lie to me. And I know that some of you don't think that's possible, but they don't. They never have. Now, do my kids not fully disclose all the information at the exact moment that I ask it to them? Probably not, right? But when faced with a direct question about where they're at, they'll always tell the truth. And the reason why they tell the truth is because of my wife's influence in their life when they were very young. When Gabe was about 4 years old, he lied to Crystal about something. Do you remember what it was? I don't remember what it was. It was something easy. Whatever. You know what's funny about kids is that, man, they're horrible liars. And when you're an adult, you always know when your kids are lying. Kids, you hear me? Your parents know when you're lying. Okay? They're not even listening to me now. Your parents know when you're lying. We know it. And so Gabe had lied about something. He was probably 3 or 4. And so Crystal sat him down and showed him what the Word of God said about liars. In Revelation 21:8, it says, the cowardly, unbelieving, abominable, murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Dude, Gabe at 4 years old just began to bawl. He was like, I don't want to do laps in the lake of fire. I don't want to do it. Crystal's like, it's really easy, man. Tell the truth. Tell the truth, and you never have to worry about it whatsoever. So for the rest of Gabe's life, man, not so much. His countenance is different now, but he was young in those, you know, 5 to 8 years old. He would do something wrong. You'd know he was lying. Like, Gabe, tell us right now. Did you do this? Yes or no? Did you do this? He'd always do the same thing. He would close his eyes, and he'd go. So cute. Yeah. Yeah, he would come home and tell us before we'd find out about it. But here's the thing, as a parent, I can work with that, right? If my kids are being honest with me, tell me about how you're struggling with your grades. Tell me about what happened at school. Tell me about a bad decision that you made. Because if I find out about it after the fact, it's not going to go well for you. But if you just tell me ahead of the fact, it's something we can deal with together. And so I would go so far as to say it's interesting that God has referred to us as a father. And that in our relationship with him, I believe that if we're honest with him and we come to him with our things long before, because it's no different. Like if you're steeped in sin, God will give you an opportunity to deal with it privately. And if he doesn't, he will deal with it publicly because he needs to deal with it. So if you've done wrong and there's something wrong, you need to go to Jesus and say, do you want Jesus? Forgive me. I want to make this thing right. And he will forgive you and he will set you free, but you have got to be honest with him. Because here's another part of it. You've got to embrace progressive healing. Now, what do I mean by that? This scripture, again, it's one of the only occurrences where we see a two-step process in somebody getting healed. It's not an instantaneous healing. Now, I don't believe in progressive revelation, but I believe, based on this scripture and based on my own life, that I've seen many times where I'm not immediately healed and God does it over time. Would any of you agree with that, with me? That God did it little by little?
Yes.
And that you saw that like there was a process that God was working out? God's totally fine with taking time on your healing. He's totally fine with letting you walk through some stuff because there's things that he is trying to change in you and through you as you're walking through that. Why didn't Jesus immediately heal him as he did others in Mark? I don't know. It wasn't that Jesus wasn't powerful enough or this man's blindness was too much for him. I think, again, it shows somewhat about our own spiritual condition that most of us, myself included, is that I don't see 100% clearly. This guy didn't see 100% clearly, and I don't see 100% clearly either. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 13:12, "For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know just as I am also known." This is the truth of our own condition, that we are progressively growing as we are all growing. Amen? If you're honest, you would admit this in your own life, that when God has healed you, a lot of times it was a process where he was taking you through something. And so when you embrace that, it helps your spiritual life. So what does it mean to you? The first thing it means to you is that Jesus doesn't treat us all the same way. You guys don't believe that? Okay. Well, Jesus doesn't treat us all the same way at all. I don't know about you, but one of the greatest sins that I deal with in my life is the sin of envy. Nobody else. Okay, let me just talk about myself for a minute here. The way that envy rears its ugly head in my life, never in yours probably, but indulge me for a minute here. I will see somebody that has something that I wish that I had and then wish that it was mine and they didn't have it. Can I get a witness? Anybody? Sometimes I look at people that get things before I get them when I feel like I'm farther along than they are, and how come they got what I thought I deserved based on how I lived my life, but then they got it, and they're living the wrong life, but I'm living the right life, but then they get the thing that I thought I had thought I deserved. Y'all never do this? You guys are like, "No, man, I just sit around just praising God. Like, I'm so glad they got healed even though I didn't. So glad they got delivered even though I didn't. So glad they were able to do that, even though I wasn't able to." I just rejoice in other people's victories, man. There's not an ounce of self-loathing inside of me. Praise God, man. Write a book. I'll buy it. I know that for me, I struggle with that, man. Here's the deal. It is impossible to establish fairness in the eyes of God. You've got to trust that God can deal with the individual. You don't know what God's doing in them. You barely even know what God's doing in you. And you expect that you know what God is doing in somebody else? Because part of it is that God treats us according to our needs. This guy needed a healing, so Jesus takes him outside the city, spends some private time with him because it's exactly what he needed. Can we move past arguing with why God is dealing with somebody in a different way? Can we just move past that? You have no idea what that person has walked through. You have no idea what God has been dealing with inside of them. You have no idea what goes on inside of their head or what their prayers look like or things they're doing behind closed doors. But in a moment, you think that you've got ultimate judgment, the possibility to look at somebody and say, "Do you know what, God? You should have dealt with them differently. Let me show you what you should have done." You wouldn't want that for your own life. You want the person sitting on the right and left of you to make the decisions about how your life's going to run? The married people should have said, "Amen, I love you." Because here's the other part of it. We don't all get better the same. It's interesting. This guy had a two-step process to his healing while others were instantaneous. We all progress differently, folks. We've got to give people the grace. And I've said this before, and I'll say it 1,000 more times. Give other people the same measure of grace that God has given you. However long it took you to get to where you are, let God take that long to take somebody else to where they need to be. You've been serving God for 20 years. The other person isn't going to get there in 20 days. It took you 20 years to figure it out. You expect, "Well, they've been serving God for 3 weeks. Can't they figure it out at this point?" No way. Because here's the other part of it. We're all partially blind. Don't beat yourself up about your cloudiness. It's okay. We're all like just, people are just looking like trees, right? There's all parts of our lives we just don't see with spiritual clarity 100% of the time. We've got to trust God's ability to heal us through that process and understand that eventually we will all see what we need to see, but it's not going to happen until we die and go to heaven because we're on the other side. Amen? Yeah. Here's my last point, okay? Don't go back. You'll notice that the first thing that Jesus did was grab this man by his hand and took him outside of the town. Now remember, as I told you before, this town was Bethsaida, a town that was rebuked by Jesus. In Matthew chapter 11, it says that it was a town that didn't have faith and didn't repent. And although Jesus healings, he usually tells people that their faith has made them well, right? There's many times in Scripture he said, your faith has made you well. He even talked about how the apostles, he said, you know what, I couldn't even heal them because of your lack of faith. In Matthew 13, it says that he couldn't do works in a town because of their lack of faith. And so in this story, what happens is that Jesus heals this blind man. He takes him out of the city that was faithless and unrepenting. And he says, do you know what? I'm going to heal you, but don't go back into that city. That's what it says in verse 26, right? In Mark chapter 8, verse 26. Then he sent him away to his house, saying, neither go into the town nor tell anyone in the town. He was so concerned with this guy not going back to the town of unbelief, not going back to the town of faithlessness, not going back to the town of unrepentance. He says, do you know what? I don't want you to go back in there. I don't even want you to tell those people what I did in your life. Because what Jesus knew is that when he delivers you and he heals you and he sets you free and he takes you from a place, oftentimes if you go back into that place, things aren't going to go well in your life. Just choose and say, you know what, Jesus? I'm not even going back to that place whatsoever. You've delivered me from it. There's nothing for me. There's nothing in there for me. I'm not going to go back to that place. I don't have any concern with it whatsoever. You have delivered me. You have set me free, and I am never going back. Don't go back to that place of unbelief. Don't go back to that place of being unrepentant. Don't go back to that place of faithfulness. Believe and know that God can heal you, set you free, and you never have to go back. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Whew. Would you close your eyes and bow your heads for just a moment here? I want to do something a little bit different today. I want to pray for you to get healed. Amen? If you need a healing, would you just walk up to the front right now? Just come up, man. Spiritual, physical, emotional, addiction, whatever it may be. And I know that some of you are like, why we got to walk up to the front? You don't have to. You can just be obedient to your pastor if you want. Because here's the thing, man. If you won't even walk up to the front of the room full of Christians, how are you going to let Jesus walk you into a place? Amen? Some of you are already doing this. Would you just rest your hand on the shoulder of the person you're standing next to? Don't be creepy about it. Okay? We're all family. You're Christian. You're filled with the Holy Ghost. The power ain't in me and my words. The power's in the Holy Spirit. Yeah, man, just keep coming. Move forward just a little bit because there's more people that are coming. There's more room here on the other side. Let's just be obedient to the Scriptures. Let's just believe that we serve a God that's a healer. And it's not my words that heal, it's Jesus' power that heals. Whatever it is right now, I just want to tell you that God wants to heal you from it. Physical pain, emotional pain, spiritual pain, demons of addiction. Father, we pray right now in the name of Jesus, God, that you would heal your people. God, not because of my words, but because of your power. And so, God, we pray these things right now in the power of the name of Jesus. Holy Spirit, that you would come right now in a powerful way to effect healing upon your people. Father, I pray right now for the spiritually blind that they would have their eyes opened right now in the name of Jesus. God, that their eyes would be lifted like scales to be able to see exactly what you would have them to see. God, even right now, you're changing their spiritual mindset because of your Holy Spirit on them right now. Father, I pray for people that are dealing with addiction, and we pray that you would break it right now in the name of Jesus. Whatever it may be, God, and you know what that addiction is. God, they have struggled with it. They have tried to do other ways to fix it. But we've asked right now in the name of Jesus that you would fix that addiction, that you would release them from it. God, take that desire away right now. God, let them have a new, fresh anointing against that addiction right now in the name of Jesus. God, we pray for healing in relationships, healing in marriages, healing with mother and child relationships, healing with father and son relationships. All those relationships, we pray that they would be healed right now. God, we come against mental illness. God, that you would renew minds, God. That you would just recreate synapses and everything that happens inside of those brains, God. We just pray and believe for total, complete healing. And God, we embrace even today, God, as it was in this scripture, that you might just have progressively healed somebody. They may not be at 100%, but they went from 0 to 10. And so, God, we embrace that because we know that you're the one that is doing this process. You're the one that's healing. You're the one that's setting us free. And God, even today, for the people that are watching online, God, the people that are sitting at home or in their cars or in a coffee shop, God, heal them right now. Set them free right now, God. You know where they're at, where they're sitting. And God, give them your healing power right now. God, even the people that weeks and years from now that will be watching this recording online, God, heal them as they watch it. Father, we thank you for your healing power. We praise you and thank you for it in Jesus' mighty name. And all God's people said, amen. 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 You be seated. If you would, please. Man, isn't God good? Hallelujah. Hey, before we leave, I always want to ask you, if you don't know Jesus and you want to give your life to him today, I want to give you an opportunity to do that. Maybe you've never made that decision before. I don't want to leave without giving you that opportunity. It's really quite simple. You just say, man, I'm done. I'm ready to live for Jesus. And if you're here this morning, you need to do that for the first time. Would you just raise your hand right now and say, man, I'm ready to give my life to Jesus? Is there anybody that needs to do that today for the first time? Okay. All right. Fantastic. All right. Where's Deacon Moogie? Amen. Would you close us in prayer today, brother?
Thank you. Praise God. Let's all stand up. Grab the head of the person next to you. So right after this, make sure you go get your kids. They miss you. It's been a couple of hours. And then after that, the AMC, we have coffee, have some goodies over there. We also have pictures, so Mother's Day pictures that can be taken over there. Make some relationship, find somebody you don't know, and just, you know, encourage them and love on them. It's going to be awesome. Let's pray. Lord, we praise you, God. We thank you for your word today, God. Thank you, God, because you're calling us to be obedient to you, Lord. Jehovah God, thank you for the message to work in our hearts, oh God, that whenever you are leading us, you already know where we need to be, Lord. And Jehovah God, that resistance that we might be holding in ourselves, oh God, we refuse it in the name of Jesus, Lord. And we ask you for your spirit to work in us, oh God, to draw us to you, oh God. So, Father, we can get victory, Lord. We praise you and we honor you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Have a good weekend and week.
And Snapchat, and we'd love to connect with you there. If you'd like to financially support Faith and Victory Church's ministry, please text FAVC to 77977. God bless you and keep you from the FVC Live team.